Welcome, 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 everybody, to the Don't Struggle in Silence radio show. I am your host, Ashley K. Pittman. I am a three-time best-selling author, speaker, pregnancy loss mentor, and I am also the CEO and founder of my self-publishing company, BSIS Publishing. And as you already know, I am an international radio show host and also podcaster. You, if for some reason you miss our live show that airs every Friday night at 6 p.m., you can find us on any podcast platform. So wherever you listen to your podcast at, you can definitely find us there and listen to any episodes that you might have missed. So again, it's an honor to be here. I'm so happy to be here. And as you know, we always have incredible guests. Well, we're back with an incredible woman, Miss Aviva Solson, guys. She is a woman of so much knowledge and grace, and she gives you so much of her. And when she shares her own personal journey with loss, she also gives you education. And that's what I love about her. She has so much wisdom and holds nothing back. So before we get into her bio and learning more about Miss Aviva, I always like to tell you guys how Don't Struggle in Silence even got started. Don't Struggle in Silence is a mission, a movement that I have really, I guess, kind of walked into because I wrote my first book, I Can Breathe Again. And that book shares my story around my own personal journey with loss. And after I wrote that book, I began to get so much feedback from just women, men, saying, thank you for letting me know that I'm not alone. Thank you for letting me know that I don't have to do this by myself and I don't have to struggle in silence anymore. And so that's where Don't Struggle in Silence came from. It was birthed that way. It was not my intention to go the route that it has taken, but it's created a life of its own. So that tells me and you one thing, it's bigger than me, it's bigger than us. And that's why it is so important to continuously to share your life transformational stories, honestly. So to my loss story, I know I share this every episode, but if I have new listeners, which I know I always have new listeners, my loss story started when I was 23 years age and my husband and I were pregnant with twins. I had a little girl and a little boy, REA, Lene, and William Junior Pittman. I was going into heading into my 7 month of pregnancy when I went into preterm labor very early. Totally unexpected, right? Totally unexpected. And the day I woke up, the day that I went in labor, I thought I was having just, you know, normal pregnancy stuff, like cramps is what I want to call it, really, honestly. And by the time I realized I was having full contractions, well, of course, we got to the hospital. And when I got there, they said, Ashley, your bag is coming out of me. What on earth does that mean? I looked at her and she looked at me and she said, honey, sit here, hold tight. So she left. My husband ended up coming in the room because he had parked and dropped me off. And next thing you know, there was the nurse and a swarm of doctors ready to rush me to the emergency room to have emergency C-section. And I remember getting to that door, the door said, was in big red letters, do not enter. And I don't know why that stood out to me. I think I was like, I shouldn't be going in this room. And so she said, before we got in there, she said, Ashley, she took my hand and she said, do you want to do this? And I said, well, what other choice do I have? I said, wait, is my baby's going to be okay? And she took my hand again and she said, Ashley, you come first. I said, will they be okay? And she was like, well, they can have a lot of issues, Ashley. She said, but let's take one thing at a time. Let's get the babies delivered. Let's make sure you guys are okay. I was like, okay. So long story short, we ended up having the babies, you know, birthing them. My little boy was born first. Will Dream was born first. And they took him from me and gave him to my husband, where he then shortly after took his last breath. Then my labor stopped for some odd reason, or paused, or contractions, whatever you want to call it. And once they began to start back up, there my little girl came. And when I say my babies were the most precious little angels that I have really ever seen, they were so tiny, right? And so they lay Arye on my chest and she made she took her last breath, this moan that I would never, ever forget. And as I sat there you know, is sitting in shock at this point. I remember hearing a voice telling me one day you would share your story. And so guys, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing with all the women and men that I come in contact with, is giving your story a voice that we all need to hear, to let us know that we are not alone in this journey. And that brings me to my current guest, Aviva Solson. Me and her connected, oh God, maybe a few years ago, and we had so many similarities, and we just connected like that. You know, you come across someone and you click instantly. Well, that was me and Aviva. And so we've just kept in touch over the years, and now we are now working on our next book collaboration, really, that releases May 2nd, which is coming Sunday. But she's an incredible woman. When I say she gives her everything, her heart into everything she does, she gives so much passion. And that's what I adore and admire about her. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Aviva Solson is a rapid transformational therapy practitioner, a coach, and also a speaker. Aviva primarily focuses on helping women after miscarriages, as well as women who want to boost their fertility. See, she gives so much already. As a licensed RTT practitioner, Aviva helps clients get to the root cause of their issues and resolve them permanently in as little as one session. How amazing is that? RTT broadens Aviva's scope of impact as she works with even more people, men, women, and children alike, and freeing them of their problems and empowering them to live such an incredible life. And I'm so happy to welcome Aviva Solson to the show. Hi, Aviva.
Hi, Ashley. Hi, everyone.
Well, thank you, dear, for saying yes, for being a guest on our show and coming to pour into our audience as we also learn more about you. So thank you, dear. We really appreciate it.
It's absolutely my pleasure and honor. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me. And I know, because we know each other for so long, I know your story, but girl, every time I hear it, I cannot put my thoughts in words. I get goosebumps. I just want to hug you.
I know exactly what you mean, because that's how I feel when I hear your story or other women's story, and you just kind of sit there in awe of them, because you get an idea more of what the shoes they had to walk, right? And you kind of put yourself like, oh my God, I don't know if I could have made it through that. You know, so you just like, you just admire them for their strength, that they're still pushing, they're still going, they're still thriving as best as they can. So I definitely understand. So thank you. I definitely appreciate that. So as we, again, welcome you to the show, I did share your amazing, amazing bio, but before we get officially started, if you had to describe yourself in one word or one phrase, what would that be, Aviva, and why?
One word that describes me is integrity. Mm-hmm. Everything I say, everything I do, I make sure it is aligned with who I truly am and the person I want to become. Now, to be honest, and in full disclosure, it wasn't always like this for me. I would be lying if I said I've always been this way. And here's the truth. We all get conditioned by external forces, be it people, society, cultural norms, life events. We all get influenced by these external forces, and we feel compelled to fit into a certain mold, a box. So I was no exception to that for majority of my life. But fortunately, that started to change for me a few years ago. And I must say that there is an immense sense of freedom and power in living in your own integrity.
Yeah, I love that. I would even say authentic self, you know?
Absolutely.
Very, very true to who you are. And like you said, that do take some time to kind of develop and to kind of really know who you really are as a person. Of course, you know, that's just going through life itself and, you know, experiencing life, you know, to really get to that point. You know, I guess it's human nature, I guess, if you want to call it that. But thank you. And I absolutely do agree with that for you as integrity, because you definitely have that. And I just love how you're just always so true to yourself no matter what. And we all need to be like that, you know, because I feel like that would give us more of a sense of what we truly, truly want in life, and not settling or just allowing anyone just to do anything they want to do to you or treat you how they want to treat you. So,
yeah. And look, you know, that living in your own authenticity, integrity, it has its difficult moments, of course, mm-hmm. just because at the end of the day, as human beings, we are social animals. We want to get along. We want to connect. We don't want to disappoint or hurt or upset others. But one of the values that always keep me grounded and keep me going for doing the right thing, even if it's the harder thing to do, and usually the right thing is the harder thing to do, is I keep going back to when I go to bed, what do I want to feel and how do I want to fall asleep? And one of my biggest values is a fatigued body is easier to cope with than a troubled conscience.
Wow, that's very profound to think about like that. See, I love the way you think and the way that you worded it, because I mean, that makes, I love that. I mean, just put it in a different perspective, even for me, as you say that. So yeah, that's pretty awesome. I love that. Wow. You might have to write that down for me later.
No problem.
So I know, like I said, we learned a little bit more about you just a little bit earlier in the show, but what, tell the audience about Aviva before we get into your law story.
Yeah, certainly. Happy to do that. So as everybody knows, my name is Aviva Salson. I live in Florida. I'm blessed. I'm really, really blessed with a loving husband who's so supportive of me, and a precious daughter whom I cannot kiss and hug enough. I really can't. In addition to my little daughter, whom I have the pleasure of holding her in my arms, I also hold two very precious babies in my heart. Babies that I lost physically at various points in pregnancy. However, in essence, they are here with me each and every day. And I say that because if it wasn't for all my children combined, all three of them, I would not be who I am today. They give me the courage to step away from a long career in the corporate world, a career that I was incredibly good at. I was rocking it. I was acing it. But it didn't feel the way on the inside, the way it felt on the outside. On the outside, I was doing everything I'm supposed to do to climb that corporate career ladder, but it didn't feel that great on the inside. And my children gave me the grit to pursue freedom and empowerment. First and foremost for myself, that's how it all began. And then that kind of organically unfolded into giving freedom and empowerment to all the people that I work with. And that's exactly what I do. I know you incorporated a lot of beautiful, wonderful words about me in the bio, and I thank you so much for that. But that is exactly what got me to become a rapid transformational therapy practitioner. Let's just call it RTT going forward. A coach, a speaker, and an author. And I know we talked about the book and we'll talk a little bit more about it later. But through each of those avenues, I help people in teaching them and giving them all the tools they need so they can live their life by design, not by default.
Mm-mm-mm. Wow. Yeah, we love you already, Aviva. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you're right, guys. She will be a best-selling author come very soon because of the project that we are currently wrapping up. Tracy's about to be wrapping up. Oh my God, it makes me a little sad. But, you know, hey, it happens, right? We came together to do to be successful on a mission. And we're doing it, guys. We're really doing it. So, but we're going to tell you more about the book in just a minute. But Aviva, thank you, dear. Would you tell us, you don't have to tell us, you know, full 100% detail because we want to save some of it for the book. But share briefly, you know, the audience about your love story.
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned in the bio, I have primarily been working with other women and helping them through their journey after miscarriages, or maybe boosting their fertility with or without miscarriages and pregnancy loss. So although I have shared my story so many times, it does not stop me from still feeling
a
range of different emotions. So if I cry, just allow me, and I know you do, because this is why we have this beautiful community right here. But let me start by saying that my experience with fertility challenges began 3 years ago, almost to the date, actually. It was April 2018. So this is a bit of an emotional month for me. We had a three-year-old daughter at that point, and we felt ready, whatever ready means, to have more kids. I expected everything to happen seamlessly because that was my experience so far. From conception to birth, everything had been pretty textbook when we had our daughter. So, you know, I thought, why should things be any different now? Well, turns out that fertility struggles don't discriminate. It can happen when it's your first pregnancy or your 20th. You could be 18 years old or 23, like in your story, Ashley, or you could be 45. And yeah, it doesn't really discriminate against whether you have a history of miscarriages in your family or whether you don't. Like, I certainly am fortunate to have no history of any of this happening to anybody from my family. So basically, it can happen to anybody at any point in time. And that was how my experience with fertility challenges began. So I conceived our second child just as easily as the first. And I will never forget the day when I was 9 weeks pregnant and I walked in for my ultrasound appointment. Well, with this particular pregnancy, things came to an abrupt halt in that appointment. And the shock, oh my God, I cannot express in words what I felt in that moment, that day, or for weeks and months to come. It was just so much of shock and grief, anger, confusion. Like, is this really happening? Am I just observing a movie or somebody else's life? So the confusion, sadness, and there was blame, guilt. There was this constant push and pull between acceptance and denial, and eventually isolation. There was just a very turbulent roller coaster of emotion. I felt completely disconnected from myself and from everyone else, because initially I did try to open up, but very quickly I found that either people did not understand what I was going through, or they would get very uncomfortable, or some of them, unfortunately, simply didn't care. So I started to bottle up all the emotions and all the struggles, hiding them away from the world, just because I thought that's the best thing I need to do right now. Months of doing that, though, eventually led to anxiety and depression. Now, fortunately, I experienced a radical shift one night, and that became the cornerstone of my healing journey. And from there on, I did a lot of soul searching. I dedicated months to rediscovering myself, my inner joy, that peace that I was missing. I devoted myself to rebuilding my relationships, especially my relationship with my husband. And soon thereafter, we found out that I was pregnant again. And I was just so delighted, so excited. I really thought that everything's going to work out just fine, because we had no rhyme or reason or answers for the first miscarriage. So we just thought, and there's your hint, first miscarriage. But at that point, we just thought, okay, statistically it happened. So that's it. We kind of checked the box of statistics. Everything will be okay now. Unfortunately, though, things were not meant to be this time either. And we got that news on Valentine's Day of 2019. Now, I was 12 weeks pregnant this time. So you can imagine how in some ways it can be even more shocking, because I already had a few very successful appointments and ultrasounds. 12 weeks, that safe number that we are all told to aim for. You know, we are all told that, okay, after this point, you can have a sense of relief. But that's not always the case. And even with you, Ashley, I know you can speak to this, that 12 doesn't really mean much. So here I was, completely broken again. However, I reflected upon the things that had gone wrong the first time, wrong in terms of the challenges and the struggles that I went through. And I reflected upon the strategies that helped me bounce back. So I was very quick to pull those tools out of my proverbial toolbox. And now I never imagined that I would need them again, but I did. So I was quick to pull them out and leverage them. And I'm so glad that I did, because my emotional, mental, and spiritual recovery was impressively quicker this time. And when I look back, I actually see now that I was my first coaching client. And that experience, amongst other things, is what made me realize that my experience, my journey, my strategies, my methods, it's all very, very, very priceless. And that many other people can and absolutely should benefit from all the things that I have learned. So it took me months to gather, learn, and refine my strategies, because I had to teach myself. I didn't have anybody that I could lean on or rely on. So I had to try different techniques, and I had to keep and enhance what worked and throw out what doesn't work. So it was months of dedication, but I was determined, absolutely determined, to rise back up stronger and better than before. Now, but then from there, I thought, you know, just because it took me so long to rediscover myself and I had to do it the hard way doesn't mean that other people should have to do it the hard way. And that's how I started to change my mindset, because I had always heard about coaching and mentoring, but I never actually thought it would become a career for me. But it's not just a career for me now. I really believe that coaching and mentoring is a way of life. Because my thought process now is, if I can do something quicker, faster, better, why wouldn't I do that? So I have my own coaches. I mean, now fortunately, I'm in a much better place fertility-wise. But with other things, you know, there are things that I'm not the expert at, and I have no hesitation in reaching out to people who have done this before. So that's my story.
Wow, Aviva. I love you for sharing your story. And I can unfortunately relate all too well. So we had a miscarriage loss at almost 10 weeks after the twins loss. So, you know, when you go into the doctor's office and go for the ultrasound, you know, it's like you expect, right? You expect the news, you expect to hear the heartbeat, you expect all of this. But then when you don't, and it goes the opposite way, you're like, what? What is this really happening? Is this a dream? Like, no way that this is happening, right? And, you know, honestly, before, I mean, if I don't know if you can relate to this or not, but I know before we even got pregnant with the twins, I remember being told that it would be hard for me to conceive. So I'm issue with my uterus. And I was like, oh, okay. And then we got pregnant with the twins very naturally, right? So it's like the thought of having a miscarriage, it was one thing not being able to get pregnant, but then you don't think about losing the child. Is I didn't, you know, I never thought about a miscarriage. I don't think I knew much about it. I really be honest, and I think I'm just having that revelation right now. I don't think I thought a lot about it until it happened. And now I'm talking to women like you and more women. And so now husbands and fathers are talking about it now with their significant other. And it's like, why don't we talk about this? Why don't we share this? Because women like you and I, when we go through it, we feel like we're so alone and we feel all these emotions like shame or guilt or blame. And we go through all of that not knowing like the true reason, or, and even if you know the true reason, it's like, still, why me? Like, yeah. Really? You know, why me? Like, I do everything right. I help people. I care for other kids. You know, I have a heart of gold and would give the next person, you know, the shirt off my back if I had to. And you just be like, why me? You know, but I love how you talked about mindset, because at some point going through grief or loss, you know, it's like, am I going to stay here, or am I going to find some way to be able to put my next foot forward? You know, but by all means, we know grief is horrible. And when losing a baby or even a loved one in general, it's not easy. And it's not a road that you want to take ever. I mean, right? Would you say so?
Absolutely. I'm glad for all the insights and the growth I've experienced, but yeah. If there was an easier way to get to where I am today in terms of who I am without having to lose anybody, oh yeah, that would be my preferred method.
Yeah, absolutely. Me and my husband was having a conversation last night about just my whole journey with, you know, writing and just, you know, all the things that I've been able to achieve since a loss, which is still crazy to even say that out loud. But he was like, you're getting to live your dream. And I felt conflicted when he said that, because I'm like, I am not living my dream. By all means, I would much rather have my son and daughter any day, you know, instead of trying to honor and remember them, you know. But this is what I got. This is what you got. So our children, and for any mom or dad that is listening that have lost a child, they are still very with us. They're still very much with us, because now we are using our experience from, you know, the loss to help other people. So I would say, you know, since we had the loss, I would say it would be almost necessary to find a way to turn it into something positive. Or we would stay stuck in the grief, right? In the sorrow. And I hate to say this, but the kind of victim mindset, and that's probably wrong to say, I don't even know. That's probably not even right. So I'm sorry if it offends anyone, and I absolutely hope it does not. But it's kind of like, I guess the why me part, I guess it's the why me, because I know I was there for a very long time. Aviva, what's your insight on that?
I can completely understand where you're coming from as far as the victim mindset. And I'll expand on that in just a little bit, because yes, I also don't want to hurt or offend anybody and trigger anybody. So, you know, not the goal and the intention here. But I think what I usually think about, and this is probably what you are also wanting to say, is that in the beginning, I think it's very, very, very natural. In fact, you should take how much ever time you need to acknowledge your feelings, to feel them and give your feelings their rightful due space and time. Every single emotion that we feel, regardless of the situation, it could be anger because your boss maybe is being nasty to you today. It could be something completely different than our topic of conversation here. But every emotion is there because it's trying to tell us something, and we should absolutely acknowledge it. Ignoring our emotions, like I talked about in my story, is a big mistake. However, at some point in time, and there is no timeline, everybody's different. At some point in time, though, everybody absolutely should and must get to a place where you start to think about, am I going to continue to be a passive bystander in this life experience of mine? Or am I going to, instead of being a victim, am I going to be a victor? And am I going to be an active participant in my own healing. Yeah. Is that what you were trying to say?
Yes, and I'm really rethinking that, because maybe it's not the victim mindset, because by all means, I mean, this, we didn't pick this to happen to us at all. And so, yes, I still stand behind the mindset piece of it. I feel like you do need to, it does become a decision after some point, whatever that point is. I mean, however long it takes you to get there, you know, whatever that looks like, you know, whether that's, you know, counseling or talking to someone or a supportive friend or family member, and just feeling how you feel, you know, accepting the fact that today is a good day, I can deal with that. Today is not a bad day, I can deal with that too. But I guess for me now, being where I am now, I guess I felt like I personally sat in the grief for a very long time. And I guess because I didn't know any other way to deal with it, any other way to look at it. I think that's what it was. Honestly, I know that's what it was, because I didn't have a lot of information about it. I didn't have a lot of women in my life like you would be, but I didn't have nobody that really experienced it. So I just sat there and laid there and dwelled there and fell into depression because of it, and anxiety. And I guess I feel how I feel now, because now that I'm on the other side, I feel like if I would have had women like you or Viva or myself, it could have helped me have hope faster. I think that's exactly what I want to say. I didn't have any hope. I didn't have any kind of guidance along the way. And not to mention, not just me on this road, right? We got spouses, and you have your daughter going through it. So it's like, which way do I turn?
You know?
I just feel like not necessarily the victim, by all means. Not apologize for even saying that.
I don't think victim is a bad word necessarily, but yes, there is that element of, there's the lack of understanding, first of all, because you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here.
And
I think to add to that, the best, I say quote unquote best, but you can't see me, there is no video here, but the advice that we all typically get is, time heals, let time do its thing. So I think that is what, and I'll only speak for me, I don't want to speak for everyone, but in my case, I kept waiting for time to do its thing. And I'm like, okay, well, how long? You know, is it a few weeks? Is it a few months? And it wasn't getting any better. So for me, and speaking of mindset, that passive versus active mindset, for me, it's all about, am I really just going to allow time to pass on, going from minutes to hours to days to months? Or am I actually going to be involved in whatever it is that I can do to help myself feel better? So I feel that making sure that you feel better is a choice, it's a decision. Does not mean that you are always going to have moments of feeling better. It's not always going to be a linear path of moving upwards. There are some sidesteps, there is a step back, it's a lot of back and forth. But you do have to make that conscious decision of always reaching out for a better feeling thought, a better feeling action. So for me, that's what it is when I talk about being a passive bystander in your own life experience, as opposed to being an active participant in your healing journey. That's the way I see it.
Yes, and that's you say that very, I love that, because making a decision. I don't know, I guess I feel so strongly about that, because I didn't know that I needed to make a decision. I thought I would just get better over time. But like you said, it was years, years. And I remember I would go to bed every night and cry myself to sleep. I remember having such a huge hole in my heart that I feel like nothing or no one could fill it. And so what happened with that? And this is another reason why I share this so passionately, is because I let it take over me. So when that took over me, that affected my marriage, that affected my relationships, that affected everything in my life. Like, I kind of just gave up. And so I am so happy to be able to have this platform and to share this with you, Aviva, and with our listeners, because there is hope. not right now, not tomorrow, not next week, maybe not even next year, the year after. But if you, like Aviva said, being active or being, how did you word that, Aviva?
An active participant.
An active participant in your healing journey, meaning, like she said, you know, taking, you know, a step day by day, you know, but make a decision that I'm going to get better. I'm going to, you know, choose to move towards my healing journey and not, instead of not doing nothing at all. And one downfall that I know that I had for a fact was that I thought my grief and the sorrow that I felt would keep me connected to the twins. And I think that was really one reason why I sat for so long. Because I'm like, if I feel better, that means I didn't care, or I feel less about them, or I don't think about them or their existence. You know, I remember feeling like that. Like, now I swear to you, make me have all these revelations. I remember feeling like that. And I was like, no, if I let go, I'm gonna let go of them. But something magically happened when I finally made that decision, and so many more beautiful things opened up, like meeting you, Aviva, meeting the other women that I've got to talk to, writing my book, this whole mission. Like, I could not have done any of this at all to even try to inspire someone if I hadn't made that decision when I made that decision. So you
want to
add to that?
I completely 100% agree with everything that you said. I too, and I'll tell you right now, you and me, Ashley, we're not the only ones who felt that if we start to feel better, we are losing connection with the baby or the babies that we lost. I work with so many clients that feel exactly the same way. And what I tell them, and that's what I'll tell all our listeners today, is that there are many ways to stay connected with the person you lost. It could be a baby, but this is how I stay connected to my dad as well. Mm-hmm. I could either stay in that grief and find a sense of connection that way, or I can take all the things that I have learned as a result of the experience, become a better, stronger person, and continue to impact and influence and transform others. And that could be not only my connection with the people that I love and I lost, but it's also a legacy that I get to create, acknowledging and honoring the babies, my dad, the people that I've loved and lost. So there are different ways to stay connected. And it is a choice that we have to make on which path of connection we want to choose.
Yes, you fixed my words. you expressed it just how I'm trying to come across and not, you know, seem any heartless or anything like that.
No, you're not heartless. Come on, you're doing this.
I'm so passionate about it because I just don't want no one to struggle, for one, in silence, okay? But then just feel like you have to stay there to feel connected. And I'm gonna tell you what, when you do get to the point where you have more okay days and bad days, so much opens up for you. You begin to feel like you can live again, like you can breathe again, like I can move forward. And I do want to add this. A girlfriend of mine sent me this article by CNN Health. Katie Hunt wrote it, or I guess, you know, wrote it, I guess, really. But however, I do want to share this by the lack of information us as women have, especially when it comes to the medical field, around miscarriages. And so many times we have miscarriages and we get the feedback of, it's okay to try again, right? It's okay to try again. By all means, try again. But let me tell you what that happened to me as far as trying again. I tried again and again and again. But you know what the feedback I never got back, Aviva?
What?
Your mental space. Make sure you take care of yourself in your mental space. And even though my body was somewhat ready to try again and try to get conceived again, my mental space was so jacked up. Okay. To where, you know, our mental controls are physical, right? And so I felt like once I got to the point where I was okay to talk about it, let me say that, talk about it, then I began to write about it, journal. And then my journaling led into my book. Do you know, my now 2-year-old, it was not until I wrote my first book and I released everything that was no longer serving me, but now could help somebody else, where I had the pregnancy with my now 2-year-old Cassius, where that pregnancy was perfect. My pregnancies prior to him, I either miscarried or there were many, many complications. And during those pregnancies, my mental space was jacked up. I had so many emotions. I was going through grief. I was going through anxiety and depression all at the same time. So I really wish that, you know, we could get the feedback. And maybe this is me saying this out loud today. Make sure, do what you can to be okay mentally. I know it's painful and hurtful to go through the loss. But if you don't, I feel like, in my own opinion, if you don't get that in order or release those emotions, like I said, talking to someone, counseling or whatever hits you, you take that on with your next pregnancy.
Yes.
And I was a prime example of that. This showed in every pregnancy that I had. And I really wanted to share that, because the mental space, the mindset, it all controls our physical, and because they're connected, right? They're connected. So I just feel like begin to work on that, you know, and then allow your body to kind of go with the flow once your mental space is there and your emotional space is there, so your body and your physical can follow.
Absolutely, 1,000%. And that is at the very core of what rapid transformational therapy is all about. And that's exactly what got me to pursue RTT. It's because the mind and the body are absolutely connected, without a doubt. And there are so many examples of that that we live on a day-to-day basis and we don't even realize it. Right. And the words that we say to ourselves, the mental images that we have in our heads, absolutely impact. And I know I'm saying the word absolutely a lot, but it's because there's just, oh my gosh, there's so much I want the world to know. Everything that we think, we speak, the mental images we have, it creates a blueprint for the mind to follow. Yes. And because the mind and the body is so profoundly, deeply connected, whatever's happening in the mind, the body has no choice but to mirror what's happening in the mind. And just like you, even for me, after the second miscarriage, the natural thing for us to do was to look for answers. So we went through a series of fertility tests. Both my husband did that, I did that. And I cannot speak for other countries, but here in the US, man, is it expensive and is it time consuming? It was very, very, very overwhelming. But what kept me going was, I'll find some answers. Guess what? There were no answers. The answer was, keep doing what you're doing. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what that means anymore. So, you know, and with every miscarriage, it kind of became like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because the fear of having another one was growing more and more and more. Yes. I'm not saying that I caused my miscarriages, of course not, but there is a lot to be said about the fear or any thoughts or mental, emotional, spiritual, like subconscious blocks that we have, and a lot of the times we don't even know about it. And in going through a very long process, so getting licensed with RTT is a very long, dedicated process, but it's been very fruitful for me, and I can see the results with my clients as well, because I have uncovered so many things that I was holding on to in my subconscious mind, and I had no idea. Things that I was holding on to from when I was 2 years old. Yes. And hear this, just this past weekend, I worked with somebody who was telling me, because when you're hypnotized, and RTT is a combination of, it's the best, strongest most valuable principles from hypnotherapy, neuro-linguistic programming, cognitive behavioral therapy, neuroscience, psychotherapy. It's the best of everything. So I describe it to people as, think of this as Avengers. You have the best superheroes bringing their best superpowers all in one. That's what RTT is. And this past weekend, I worked with somebody who was telling me word for word things that she heard when she was in her mother's womb. So she wasn't even born, but babies have a very strong sense of hearing. They are pure sensation to begin with, but especially hearing is very sharp for them, because when they're in the womb, there's nothing to see really. It's fairly dark. The water is pretty much the same temperature all the time. So hearing is really what is very developed in babies. And when somebody is in hypnosis, they are accessing parts of their subconscious mind that on a conscious level, they are not aware of. And this person finally, after decades of dealing with a certain problem, I won't share too much confidentiality, I'm a therapist, but the things that she uncovered were the root causes of certain negative, limiting life experiences that she's lived with for 47 years. So my point is, yes, the mind and the body are absolutely connected. They are very, very deeply connected. And there is a lot to gain when a person works on releasing those blocked emotions, feelings, fears, whether you do it through writing, whether you do it through speaking, whether you do it by talking to other people. There are many ways to do it, but it is a very, very, very critical component of getting to a better place all within yourself, because especially with suppressed emotions, you have to feel the feeling until it no longer needs to be felt. And if you don't do that, if you suppress your feelings, there's a beautiful quote that says, "The expression that cannot find its way out through tears will make other organs weak." So I'll let that sit for a moment. And then think about, this could be either somebody from our audience, or it could be maybe somebody that they know, their neighbor, their coworker, their friend. So many stories about how after a miscarriage or a pregnancy loss, or an infant loss, eventually the body doesn't even conceive anymore. And now all of a sudden the problem becomes, why can't I even conceive? At least I was conceiving and now I can't even get that positive pregnancy test. It's all because of that mind-body connection.
Yeah, wow. 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 See, as I told you, she was very informative and she gives you so much education. And I absolutely love it, Aviva. And you know what I did, what I didn't do, let me say this, when I was pregnant with all the other babies, I never did positive self-talk. I never talked over my womb. I never did any of that. And by the time we got pregnant with Cassius, I had learned so much more. And one of those was, you know, positive self-talk, mental inside my, you know, to myself and then outside, you know, verbally. And I would just say positive affirmations and I would write them down. I made myself believe that I was going to have a healthy pregnancy. My womb was healthy. I did all of that. And it I don't know if it worked, but I mean, I had a healthy pregnancy, like textbook perfect healthy pregnancy. And I did not recognize my body with a healthy pregnancy, not a whole bunch of scares and the fear of, you know, possibly losing the baby. I didn't have any of that this time with Cassius. And so I just like to go back to what you were saying about that again. The mind and the body is so connected and we don't even realize. And let me tell you how much more connected it is. And I guess I don't really pay attention as much until somebody pointed out. But like this past week, I've had my back is bothering me. I guess it's a pinched nerve or something. But I think it's in my neck, but it's affected my back tremendously. And just something that small can affect everything, you know. So to go back to the body and mind, what you think, feel, and believe your body, you dictate that. All that dictates what your physical, what your body does, right? And I just think it's so important, again, that you're even hitting home on it, Aviva, as far as the mindset is so important. Even after loss, you know, getting pregnant again, just really truly loving yourself. And I think it's also important for you to truly fall in love with yourself again as a woman after pregnancy loss. Really just love and embrace yourself as a woman and develop that confidence again, because sometimes you can lose that. I definitely did. When you have a loss. So just being graceful and gracious with yourself and knowing that your body can do everything that it needs to do. It's just getting there and giving yourself time and also falling back in love with you. You know?
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Well, this has been amazing, Aviva. And I was going to ask you about RTT, but you absolutely answered that earlier. So thank you. But before we close out the show, what else do you have coming up for you?
Oh, my goodness. I have so much, and I'm so excited to share a little bit about that. First thing is I am expanding my business, and I'm starting to offer RTT to clients around the world. So in the past, I mainly worked with people who live close by just so that I can see them in person. But I think in a way, the pandemic had a little bit to do with that. But in general, I've always had this super big grand vision of helping everybody around the world. And I have been taking the opportunity in the past few months and experimenting with what is it like to conduct these sessions virtually. And I am very impressed with the results. The sessions are just as effective virtually as they are in person. So I finally get to take this next huge step in the direction of my grand vision and help women, men, and children across the globe. So that's one very exciting thing on the horizon coming down the pipeline. And second, we have the release of our much-awaited book, Don't Struggle in Silence, I Am Resilient. That's the title of our book. And Ashley, you hinted on this earlier. The book is a collaborative mission with 5 strong mothers sharing their stories, myself included, in the most raw and real way possible. And you, Ashley, spearheaded this entire project from start to finish. So kudos to you. And thanks for bringing us together. The book releases this Sunday, May 2nd, which is Grieve Mother's Day. And we were very intentional about recognizing mothers everywhere with our book and deliberately chose May 2nd as our launch date. And I am always amazed with the pre-orders that I'm getting for the book. They're pouring in, literally. I just feel so loved and honored that so many people either want to buy the book for themselves or they know somebody and they want to gift it. I even had somebody who said, hey, I work for a support group and I would love to buy a whole lot so I can actually give this out to women that come in to get support. And every time I open my email, I see more and more pre-orders. So I am very excited and I'm looking forward to celebrating this significant milestone with you, with our co-authors, with our guest speakers and all the lovely men and women who are registering for our free live launch party. It's really a celebration. It's a recognition for everybody. And if I can, you know, kind of tease everybody a little bit, you picked out some amazing giveaways. And I know I cannot put my name in the drawing for that, but man, if I could, I already know what I would want to win.
Oh, Aviva. So we do have our book launch coming May 2nd. The event is it's free. You can register for it at don'tstruggleinsilence.info. And we do have some amazing guests. We do have Miss Cora Jakes Coleman, and we also have Dr. Janie Lacey as our speaker, as our special guest. And you can go to the website and find more about the event. And it starts from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern time. So go ahead and register today. And like Aviva said, the giveaways that we do have coming up, it'd be, I'm still deciding, 2 giveaways, 1 giveaway. I'm not sure yet. But The giveaway is going to be a $25 gift card, also a copy of Miss Coral Deck's book, Coral Deck's Common Book, and also a copy of our book. So, yes, guys, it's going to be absolutely phenomenal. I'm so pumped about this event. The ladies have worked really hard on this book, and we have a lot to offer the world. And the whole purpose of all of this is just continue to bring awareness around pregnancy loss, infant loss, stillbirth, infertility, just loss, you know, just the loss and what it entails. But we want to also give you inspiration and encouragement and hope that it's possible one day to get to the other side and not be consumed by the grief that comes with it. So yes. So Aviva, go ahead and tell us where we can connect with you at.
You can connect with me through my website, which is avivasolson.com. You can also email me at contact@avivasolson.com. Or you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I bet I'm the only Aviva Solson on any of those platforms. So you'll find me very easily.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Aviva. This has been such a wonderful conversation. And I really enjoyed this today. So thank you. And before we close out, I like to close out with a quote of give yourself permission to heal. And I already shared with you why I say that, but I'll tell you again, is because I didn't give myself permission to heal. I gave myself permission to stay in grief, to stay connected to the twin. So do yourself a favor and give yourself permission to heal. And what that means is just, you know, take it one day at a time. Take it one day at a time. And if you have good days, embrace that. Don't feel bad for it, embrace it. And if you have bad days, embrace that as well. So at the end of the day, just try to give yourself permission to heal. And that is all that we have for this show. We are the Don't Struggle in Silence radio show. Like I said, you can find us on any podcast platform if you missed the live show. And come back and tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. And if you know anyone that desires to share their story, just as Miss Aviva Solson has in our last book collaboration, please go to my website and learn more at ashleykpittman.com. And also connect with me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Clubhouse at Ashley K. Pittman. Thank you guys, and have an amazing night and also an incredible week. Thank you.